The CVS drive-thru line isn't just for picking up prescriptions anymore. It's also a one-stop shop for COVID-19 testing. And the person who's collecting the sample to be tested isn't a healthcare worker. It's you. And if you've wondered what the self-swab process is like, WFAE's Sarah D'Elia has this hands-on account.
First things first, before you roll up to the CVS, you have to make an appointment online. You answer a few basic questions, like if you've had any COVID-19 symptoms in the last 24 hours or have any medical conditions. Not every CVS pharmacy has COVID testing available, but luckily one in my neighborhood did. For the record, I didn't have any symptoms, but after weeks of covering protests and being in close proximity with people both masked and unmasked, I felt like it was time to get a test.
Hi, I'm here for a COVID test. My first name's Sarah. My last name's D'Elia, D-E-L-I-A.
The next day, I'm at a CVS drive-thru. I drive up to the window masked up. They ask you wear a face covering when the pharmacy window is open. Because this is a self-swab kit, I'm both the patient and healthcare worker. With a really nice CVS pharmacy employee metaphorically holding my hand, which is good because I'm nervous and don't want to mess up. A large metal drawer extends to my car with the kit.
Okay, thanks.
With one of the Q-tips in the kit, I'm instructed to swab my left nostril and then hold the swab against the nasal wall for 15 seconds. Then, with the same end, repeat on the other side. She recommends making a circular motion with the Q-tip that's less than an inch in my nostril and warns me I might feel like I have to sneeze. Even though I only have to hold the swab against the nasal wall for 15 seconds, I linger a little longer. The whole time I'm wondering, am I to be trusted with collecting such important data?
If you swab the right way, which is really not hard to do, you can actually just do it on your own.
Dr. Yvonne Maldonado is a professor of pediatrics, epidemiology, and population health at Stanford University School of Medicine. In a recent study, she set out to determine if self-swab testing for COVID-19 is reliable. Basically, can we be trusted to collect our own sample? The 30 participants in the study had previously been diagnosed with COVID-19. They were asked to do a nostril self-swab made with polyester. There are many different types of swabs and tests available at this point. Mine, for example, was different. I had a cotton swab in my kit. Researchers are evaluating both tests and swab materials to see which are most reliable. Maldonado chose polyester swabs because they're less likely to cause problems with lab results. Back to her study with polyester swabs, after a self-swab was collected by the participant, a healthcare worker did the same nasal swab along with a throat swab. In one case, a participant's self-swab came back positive. The two swabs collected by the physician tested negative. Overall, 29 out of the 30 participants had exactly the same results, regardless of who collected the swab.
The viral load was about the same, statistically the same, with any method as well.
She says self-swabbing kits have many advantages, including more people getting tested who might otherwise avoid it because of the invasive and uncomfortable nasal pharyngeal swab. That's sometimes referred to as the brain tickler because of how far back in the nose it can go.
It saves so much PPE. It saves a lot of provider time, and it's easy, and it doesn't bother people. One of our participants was a baby, and that baby didn't even really notice that anybody was doing anything. It's so simple.
Maldonado's now studying people who are asymptomatic. It's possible people who don't have symptoms may not have as much virus in their nose as people who have symptoms. So she wants to verify that self-swabbing works in all situations. Maybe one day, Maldonado says, self-swabbing COVID-19 tests will be as common as at-home DNA kits.
Why shouldn't self-swabbing work if the disease is naturally transmitted when people are not social distancing and they're just breathing on each other?
Daniel Janis is a bioinformatics and genomics professor at UNC Charlotte. He's following studies like the one out of Stanford that are verifying the validity of self-swab tests.
Doesn't even have to be a highly droplet-filled cough. Apparently, there are cases where choirs got together and sang, and the mist carrying the micro droplets of virus was enough in the air, and they're inhaling and exhaling with their song. That's enough. So why shouldn't self-swabbing work?
The more data available on how the disease is spreading in the community, the better, he says. So he's all for people swabbing themselves.
One, we're not endangering healthcare workers by having them interact with us. two, it lowers the barriers to people getting tested. So I think the benefits are tremendous.
One tip he has is to go to the drive-thru by yourself, if at all possible.
I would make sure I'm not in a car with anybody else. Just sort of keeping the contamination down, you know, the chain of evidence, so to speak, keeping that solid.
Fortunately, I went on this self-swab joyride by myself. After I place my swab in a tube and recap that tube, I seal it in a bag that came with my kit. Several wipes have been provided so I can wipe down the bag before I drop it into a metal box that reads completed test kits only.
All right.
And that's it. The whole process took about 5 minutes. I'm given my discharge papers, and I'm told I'll get my results online in 2 to 4 days. Then I roll my window up and head back to my home office. And in case you're wondering, a couple of days later, I logged onto my CVS MyChart account. Good news, in bright green letters, the word negative is the first thing I saw. For WFAE News, I'm Sarah D'Elia.